When I was a youngster, every now and then my mother would make fish for us on Fridays, especially Fridays during Lent. One of those Friday suppers was memorable because I got a fish bone stuck in my throat. It traumatized me. I wouldn't eat fish for the next 5 decades. But now I do, and I really love fish. Especially the broiled salmon on a wood plank that they serve at Seasons 52 in Oak Brook. Anyway, have you noticed how often fish turn up in gospel stories? Jesus was a carpenter from the village of Nazareth, but he chose to base much of his ministry around the Sea of Galilee, which then, and as it is now, a great source of fish. He recruited his inner circle from the fishing villages around that sea. Not surprisingly, at least several of them were fishermen, and he promised to turn them into fishers of people. He used their small fishing boats to get around the area. He even used their fishing boat as a makeshift pulpit for his preaching. He watched them work at fishing, and he helped them to make a miraculous catch. He even told a parable about a fishing net. And when he presided over that great feast of 5,000, the food he blessed and provided consisted of bread and fish. So what's going on in our gospel story this morning, in which Jesus takes a piece of broiled fish? Well, first of all, the disciples think that they are seeing a ghost. And why wouldn't they? I mean, after all, he was crucified on that Friday back in Jerusalem. And they're frightened. So Jesus offers them the same proof that we heard him offer in our reading last week from John's Gospel. Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me and see. Luke then tells us how their terror has turned into joy and amazement. I think we've all had that experience when confronted with an amazing sight or some wonderful news. We put our hands to our face and we laugh and open our eyes wide and say, I can't believe it. But we do believe it. We're just saying that because we need a few moments to let it sink in. And then we might offer our congratulations, hug everyone in sight, and dance around the room. But the gospel doesn't say that. However, I suspect that that is what happened in this case. This means that Jesus asks them for something to eat. He is moving well beyond physical demonstration of his realness. They just needed time, as we would say, to process it. Here's what else I think might be going on in this gospel for us to take away this morning. By asking for something to eat, Jesus is reminding his friends to offer hospitality, just as he did when he washed their feet in the upper room. So when a stranger visits, when a guest comes among you, you don't huddle in a corner. You invite them in. Jesus was born into this tradition of absolute compulsory hospitality. It's what he lived. It's what he taught. And it is what we're called to be and to do. Second, Jesus is reminding them of his actual humanity. Luke was Greek, writing for Greek audiences. The popular religions of the Greek world were called mystery cults, where gods and goddesses were worshipped from a distance, as fearsome, often capricious, otherworldly deities, Jesus brought a different understanding of God for us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And third, by Jesus embracing his disciples, he's drawing them into community with him. He accepts the gift of cooked fish, and at once they are all symbolically transported back to those early days of their shared experience. And at the same time, a look into the future, a signal that they still have work to do, as we do, as fishers of people. And even though it is a meal of fish rather than bread and wine, it was surely a sacramental meal. As in the words of one of our post-communion prayers states, it was a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Just as Jesus fed the 5,000 with bread and fish, so he shares a meal of fish this morning with his followers. And like his disciples, we will soon dine with him here today in preparation to be sent out into the world in the power of the Spirit and do the work that we've been given to do. Amen.